You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall are with you this week to look ahead to the WGC event in China and the Sanderson Farms Championship as well. Having been deserted by my two compadres last week, they're back this week. A warm welcome, Mr. Grenham, first of all.
Hello, Dave. Good to be back.
It is. It's good to have you back, sir. And Dave Tindall?
Yes, hello.
Fresh from your break in Cumbria?
Contrasting Mike's trip to Vegas.
Yes. Yes.
Sure, we both had a
I think
nice
it's a bit
time.
Warmer in Vegas than Cumbria at this time of year. Fair.
Slightly warmer, I think. Slightly different conditions
less,
there.
Less sheep in Vegas as well.
We'll just have a quick reflection on last week's events, first of all, before we get stuck into this week. Victor Dubuisson, the winner in Turkey, demonstrating that sharp short game that we know he's got, putted incredibly well, Dave, over the weekend in particular. And he's a bit of a legend around the greens, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's his second win in the three tournaments they've played there. He's very, very emotional, wasn't he? I think there's a lot going on with him that you never really know what it is.
He turns up to tournaments then withdraws. It's strange, isn't it?
And he sort of hinted at stuff, but you don't really know the story. But obviously that win meant an awful lot to him for golfing reasons, I think probably personal reasons as well. So hopefully he can kick on and maybe win a big one next year. He's certainly got it in him, hasn't he? He's got such a great game.
And on the PGA Tour, it was probably a good week for you to skip, Mike, because 26 under par, the winning total.
Yeah, a bit low that, isn't it, Dave? You know, I don't like that.
Justin Thomas won the tournament, and 10 under par for the week, Mike. 10 under par for the week was tied for 35th in that event.
It's too easy, isn't it?
It was a surprise as well, because you look back to the previous couple of years at the CIMB Classic on the same golf course, and Ryan Moore had won back-to-back and shot 14 under and 17 under.
You can live with that,
can't you?
Yeah, certainly the 14 under, but once it gets much above an average of 4 under per round, I start to switch off a little bit.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't just as if Justin Thomas blew away the field. He only won by one.
Yeah, there was loads of them up there, wasn't there?
Crazy.
So, yeah. Not sure it's going to be massively different this. What do you think the winning scores will be this week? Well, let's judge that as we go along, eh?
It could be low, though. It could be a low week, couldn't it?
It could be low, couldn't it? It could be.
We'll start with the WGC event, the HSBC Champions. Rory McIlroy, the 11-2 favourite here with William Hill. Jordan Spieth is 8-1. Bubba Watson is 14s. Dustin Johnson, 16-1. Adam Scott is 18s, along with Henrik Stenson. Hideki Matsuyama and Ricky Fowler, both 20s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. As you mentioned, Mike, it's difficult to know exactly what we're going to get from this golf course this week, because last year we expected scoring to be similar as it had been previous years, but it didn't play out that way.
No.
Sheshan International, the host course, was much tougher. The rough was up, and Bubba Watson only had to post 11 under par for the week to land top spot, prevailing in the end in a playoff against the diminutive, I think that's how you've got to describe, it's written in contracts, that's how you've got to describe Tim Clark. If the rough's up again this year, it could curtail scoring.
Yeah. Could lose Tim Clark.
Thankfully, he's quite accurate from the tee.
It's hard to call, isn't it, Dave? I do think, though, that the one thing that seems to still make a difference, and Tim Clark defies this, of course, but I just have a feeling that par 5 scoring is very important here, and that's where you've got to get your score. So you've either got to play really well with your wedges if you're someone like Tim Clark, or you've got to be a bomber. I favour the latter personally.
I think I read that Bubba was 14 under for the par 5s, and he won with 11 under.
I think it was 15, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And as Mike mentioned, that was obviously playing the par 5s well was a catalyst to Bubba Watson's success last year.
Massively so.
Yeah, so that's something definitely to look out for. Do you favour power then here, Mike?
I think One of my picks is, and one is not quite so long, but I think, yeah, it does help here, I think. Well, if Bubba Watson's winning and Dustin Johnson are winning here, which they have in the last 2 years, it gives you some indication that it help. It's certainly a help. I'm not ruling out people, as one of my picks will show, who aren't as long as that, but I think it does help.
I think it's worth noting as well that the course reportedly is very soft, which would even further favour the longer hitters from the tee. Is that the way you've looked at this event as well, Dave?
Kind of. Without really sort of seeing it unfold, so I've kind of hedged my bets and picked somebody. It probably didn't matter which way it was going, whether it was going to be low or high.
Okay. A couple of picks for me.
Just one for me.
And Mike?
Shall I go first?
It's your welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, okay then. I'm going to go with that. I have to say I was between the past two winners for my main bet, Watson and Johnson. But I've gone with Dustin Johnson. I just think he was brilliant at this course when he won in 2013. He's got a couple of wins in WGC events. I think this could easily be his third. He missed the cut last time out in the Hong Kong Open, but I think that was probably a bit of a pipe opener for the season. And if anything, gives me more confidence in his chances, shaking the rust off, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Finished the season very well with top tens in the PGA, the Barclays, the BMW and the Tour Championship. You know, he's a massive hitter, as we know. Plays par fives ever so well, was third on the par five scoring last year on the tour, ninth on strokes gained tee to green. So all of that kind of stuff just makes me think that he's got to be in the mix. I expect him to kick on from Hong Kong, and at 16-1, I think he's a very, very good each way bet in what is a restricted field. So yeah, I think that's a surprisingly generous price for him, 16-1. I expect him to be in the five for sure.
Okay, 16-1, Dustin Johnson, Mike's number one pick here. I'm going with Brandon Grace at 33-1 as my main bet, a point each way. I mentioned last week that I liked Grace for that event last week, but the concern with Grace is he only tends to peak for major events now, and this is a biggie, isn't it, the WGC. Of course, he was the main man at the President's Cup in South Korea for the internationals. And I felt that given that performance in that event, big things were just around the corner this season for Grace. And he's acclimatised as well, played in that CIMB Classic last week and finished 17th. He's won in China before, landed the China Open back in 2012. And he's had one start on this golf course in 2013. And it saw him get progressively better as the week went on. Opened with a poor round of 77.
He needed to get better. Then,
he did need to get better just to get into any sort of contention in round one. And he closed with a 67-69. He's got that length advantage that I think is required on this golf course. Puts well. And I think he's set for a big week and a big season. So I'll go with Brandon Grace, a point each way at 33s.
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm going as my only pick in this event for Adam Scott.
Okay.
18-1. I think that's a fair price. I think a lot, as Mike's hinted at, a lot of rust is kind of, could be a factor, couldn't it, with some of the market leaders. Rory's had food poisoning. He's even in today's press conference, he said his stomach still felt a bit weird.
He's not been able to practice at all, has he, McIlroy?
Can't be a help, that, can
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so it's not good. I mean, Spieth, there's a lot of the market leaders, they've not been doing much apart from the President's Cup, so they've not played stroke play since the Tour Championship. Whereas Adam Scott, he's been playing in Asia the last few weeks. He played in the President's Cup, then he went to the Japan Open and was tied 7th, and then last week in the Sim Classic came with a wet sail in the 66-66-63 to finish runner-up. I think there's maybe a feeling that, you know, would the anchor putter law coming in, this the end of Adam Scott, and he's, you know, he's had his chance. But the comments he said at the Sim were very, very encouraging. He said, "I'm very motivated and enthusiastic about my putting." Apparently, he tried a kind of cross-handed stroke at the President's Cup, abandoned it after a day and a half, and went to one of those claw grips.
Right, okay.
He seems really happy with it. So I think he's ready to play well again. I think this is a good time to back him because he's got all them big Aussie events coming up, and he wants to be sharp for them. He wants to maybe try and win that Triple Crown, which he got so close to, was it last year or the year before? And he's just playing great. So, and in terms of the course, yeah, if it's a birdie fest, well, he's shot, 25 under last week, so
yes,
clearly he can handle that. And if it's more difficult, well, he's got that lovely long straight and long sort of game off the tee. So I think however it plays, I think Adam Scott is there, is equipped to tackle it. And I just think 18-1 about a class player who's up and running and in form and has silenced those doubts, maybe only for now, and it'll probably rear its head again, and it will.
He's not silenced
problem.
Me yet.
No,
he's not silenced me yet, I must admit.
But I think for now he seems confident with it. Like I say, I think it'll come and go, but right now I think he's okay with his putt. If he's just shot 25 under, he's not doing a lot wrong with it, is he? So, 18-1. I'm going to go a point and a half each way, Adam Scott.
I can't forgive him for that. When we were watching out there in the Open Championship, and he's
got a squiggle,
How didn't he get placed that week, Mike?
I don't know.
And he missed that two-footer when we were watching, and you just turned to me. And I just put my head down on the floor, basically.
Yeah.
18
wasn't good.
he's
not in our good books, Dave.
That was the worst.
You've got to let it go.
I have to let it go. But he's going to have to do something exceptional for me to trust in him again.
I'm not sure of him in this level at the moment, but he could prove us wrong. It'd be interesting to see how he puts in a top field rather than a second div field. We'll see. But I totally understand 18 to him could look big after the event, couldn't it? My second pick is Patrick Reed, who wasn't brilliant here last time out. Tied 22nd, but another one who started the kind of the Asian swing in really good form. Third in Hong Kong, 10 in the CIMB, or the SIM as you call it. I've never heard it described as that before.
Simb.
That's what the locals say.
Is it?
All right, I've learned something there.
It's made up.
All right. Just a player who's won a WGC event, and for his age, he's got a 4-tour win to his name, so he definitely knows how to win, this guy. Double carpet 33-1 strikes me as a good price for Patrick Reed, because I think he's right up there in the top echelon of the game, and I'm hoping that he can he's not the longest, but he played pretty well on par 5 last season and has started this season on the par 5s very well as well. Decent greens in regulation as well so far this season, which is also encouraging, which is probably a little bit of an Achilles heel last year. But I like his form at the beginning of this season. He ended last season pretty decent, but even better as we lurch toward the big WGC event here in China, and I think he's a very big price at 33. Reed.
Yeah, you like Reed, didn't you? I'll get back to my second pick in a few moments. But we were talking about this event after In Play Radio last night, and you said you like Reed.
I said Reed would probably be my second pick if I was having one. So I'm glad Mike's put him up.
I'm going with Lee Westwood. A 66-1.
Sharp intake of
breath.
That's
my second pick. I knew it was going to be there. He's admittedly taking a bit of a flyer because there's that niggling thought in the back of everyone's mind that him winning big events is a bygone era.
I hope not, but I do worry about that.
I agree, and it's a definite concern. That's a fair point, because he's never won a WGC event, has he?
Or
he's not on the tour. Yeah. Winning those European Tour events year in, year out. But I think this is a golf course that suits his game, and I'm willing to take a leap of faith here. It's a golf course that definitely, as we've seen in the past, rewards good driving, which has always been Westwood's key attribute throughout his career. Course form does catch the eye. He's played here 7 times and only finished outside the top 20 once. That includes runner-up finishes on a couple of occasions, and once in 2010 when the tournament had been given WGC status, so in a top-class field. He opened with a finish of 11th in the Turkish Airlines Open last week and shot that opening round of 64. Crucially, I think his putting has been a little bit better in recent events, and he has got good form in the Far East, Westwood, throughout his career. He hasn't won a WGC event, so it takes a leap of faith thinking it could happen this week at this, in the autumn of his career. I'm a dreamer, though, Mike, and I'll give
plays
it a go.
He plays very well in Asia,
he
Dave.
He does play well in Asia.
Yeah, he does. But Dave Tindall's also right to say that, actually, when you look at it, his big wins aren't that remarkable, are they?
He's beaten up on weak fields throughout his career, hasn't he, really? But he has got a couple of runner-up finishes in this event, and as mentioned, once in the WGC, so in a top-class field.
Yep.
I think 66-1's
that's a
fair on Westwood.
Here's one to debate, then. Would you rather have Lee Westwood at... Well, you clearly would, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Or, I'll ask Mike then, would you rather have Lee Westwood at 66 or the man who is second in the race to Dubai, Danny Willett at 66? One's career path going sharply upwards, the other one going down.
I hear what you're saying. I suppose Westwood's Asian record, he does seem to flourish in that part of the world.
But in dodgy event, he goes to sort of...
Yeah.
Malaysian,
he's got course form as well.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Lee Westwood, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas Danny Willett's not.
No, I do. How many goes has he had? Yeah.
Just the one. Yeah. But he did finish. He did finish way down the field on that occasion.
I mean, he's tied 11th last week.
Is this a free lunch bet? Willett versus Westwood?
That's an interesting one. A sort of end of year.
I don't mind. I'll take Westwood against Willett as a free luncher.
Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
To be fair to Lee Westwood, yeah, I'm just looking at his record here in the majors. I know he hasn't won one, Dave. You're right, but he's got a whole host of top fives, hasn't he? And you know from. Yeah, seconds in the Masters and the Open.
He
and
has, but look at the last seven.
Yeah, he's not played in that. Yeah, he's definitely had a dip in the last couple of years. Without
a doubt, and maybe his dedication has waned as well to the game, which is a possibility.
He did play well in the Masters 18 months ago. He's not that bad, is it?
And he did play well in Turkey last week, especially in the opening round. I just think his iron play has not been as strong as it has been previously, and that's been costly. He's putting okay at the moment, Lee Westwood, and obviously that throughout his major career
it's
has been his Achilles heel, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm a great, but I have to say that, you know, as people might have heard me say before about Colin Montgomery, majors aren't the only criteria of a good career, are they? He's finished second in a couple of majors, and just
he's had a brilliant career, hasn't he, Westwood?
Yeah. You know, the run of the green, just the rub the green sometimes. There's only four events a year, and you've got some great players winning them, and sometimes people are. Yeah. Would you rather be looking back at Lee Westwood's career or Sean McKeel's?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know what I would rather. I don't care what anyone says about majors. You'd rather have consistency, wouldn't you, and longevity about your career. So I do fear that his best is maybe behind him, but I hope not.
No, I agree, and that is a genuine concern that his best is behind him. Hopefully, he'll bounce back. He's my second pick anyway, Lee Westwood at 66-1.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll have a bit of lunch.
Okay, let's do it.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Lee Westwood versus Danny Willett this week.
I'd be backing Danny Willett to make more money from now on in his career.
I would. I'd take that as well.
Because I like Willett. He's a good player.
We are a good player.
He is one of those, isn't he, that loves the caddy-player relationship.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
How far does he take it? I'm sure at one point he's going to say, we're getting married or something. Who is he and your caddy?
Dave's been through a couple of the guys at the top of the betting. Rory McIlroy obviously suffering from food poisoning. I went for him in a big way last week and putted terribly, and that cost him. I thought he was really poor on the greens. He was 9-2 though last week in a weak field. He's 11-2 in a strong field this week. I know he's got the course form.
He's got great
course
form, hasn't he? But you put
food poisoning.
You'd like to see him putting well at 11-2, wouldn't you, in a field like this?
Yeah.
We all know he can win, but food poisoning, not putting well. There's a few reasons not to back him at 11-2.
I'd rather have Jordan Spieth. I think
McIlroy will have a massive year next year. I think sometimes it goes good, bad with him. And this one, it's like, well, you know, this was St Andrews, an open at St Andrews. What a chance for him. Does his foot in, and then he's got food poisoning here. It's just sort of, come on, roll on 2016.
No, I agree.
He'll be fine, don't worry.
Any others worthy of mention then, Mike, that we've not...
Bubba is a massive...
We've not been through.
And don't want to win, because I love Bubba, and he's won here. He's in great form, hits it a mile. He's got ever so more consistent in recent years, and people still don't seem to give him credit for it.
Yeah.
So Bubba was very close for me. Other than that, I looked at... I don't know if we're doing top European betting on this event this week. I don't think we are, are we?
Yeah, we have. We've got top European players.
Oh, yeah, pop that up, because I just a couple of players I'd mention. The famous Thomas Peters that I like. He's
25-1 in that
market. Reasonable. Bernd Wiesberger plays quite well in Asia, I think. Both of those guys hit a country mile, don't they?
Yeah.
And also Søren Kjelsen's in very good form, so he's... underrated player at 40-1 in that market. So there were just a couple of the Europeans that I thought. I thought one of you two might pick Paul Casey, actually. No one had him on his mind?
No, not really. I know you picked Paul Casey at the Tour Championship, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, I could easily put a bet up in that market, though, on Martin Kaymer at 12s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves this course. He obviously won with a 63 in 2011.
Yeah, he does.
He had the chance to win last year. You know, he's not won this year, but he was second in Italy not that long ago. So in that top European market, you can take Rory on. Stenson was a bit flat last week.
What I was thinking, really. Yeah. I just saw a couple of those big hitting long, you know, young guys who might be on the upgrade Wiesberg and Peters, the two players I like.
Definitely fair comment. 20 and 25 to 1, respectively, Wiesberg and Peters. And the other one might mention Soren Kjeldsen, 40 to 1, if you want to go with Dave in that market. Martin Keimer, 12 to 1. Yeah, there's some value there if you want to take on McIlroy and Stenson in that top European player market, without a doubt. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Shall we have a look at the Sanderson Farms Championship, which is the opposite event this week? Jason Bone is the 10-1 favourite in this
good
market.
Good price, that, isn't it? 10-1. He's got a great winning record, hasn't he? Yeah.
He's won twice.
He must win every nine events, or 10 events, doesn't he, by the looks of it?
You do the maths, it's fair, isn't it?
Jason Bone, 10-1. Patrick Rogers, 12-1.
No, thank you.
Patton Keziah is 18-1.
No, thank you.
William McGirt, 20s. No. Jamie Lovemark, 25s, along with Will Wilcox. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. I talked last week with Mark about the changing landscape of the PGA Tour at the moment, given the wins of two rookies in the first two events of the new PGA Tour season.
Yeah, fair call.
And given that another young gun, we've mentioned Justin Thomas, won last week. Rookie Nick Taylor won this event last year. It might be worth checking out the credentials of those under 23 years old in this event. This event is being played again at the Country Club of Jackson.
I hear what you're saying, Dave, but when you look at the leaderboard for this event last year, you could argue that there were a lot of what might be termed wily veterans, or
definitely,
you know, guys who've been around the block a few times. There were quite a few of them, weren't they? So that's it's an interesting to see what kind of player wins here. I think I take your point entirely. There does look to be a wind of change, but you know, some old guys were up there last year, weren't they?
Yeah, I've got it written down here. Definite mix of youth and experience. Jason Bone obviously finished second. Boo Weekly was in contention.
Yeah. He was singing as well, wasn't he? Tied singing.
Yeah, he was.
So
I was hoping Mike was going to start singing "Wind of Change" then.
It'd be a nice little rendition,
if you like,
to the podcast.
Crazy song. one thing I've noticed, you're talking about the sort of younger players, and I know, Dave, I always think you pick on form. Well, the three events won so far on the PGA Tour season. Grio won on the back of a win.
Yeah.
Smiley Kaufman, his name was. he won on the back of a top 10. And then Thomas was coming off a top three. So all three winners, they've kind of marked our cards. Mm-hmm. So I started off looking at this event by who's had a top 10. Obviously, Bowen qualifies for that. Problem is, all the ones that do qualify for a terrible prices.
I think that the one of those three that I missed out on from a personal perspective, I think, was Emiliano Grillo, who I mentioned on the
40s,
podcast.
Was he?
Who was 40s, yeah, who I thought was a fair price that week. The other two, I thought Justin Thomas was too short last week, in all honesty.
What was he?
He was around about 25 to 1.
Now that looks quite big.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And Smiley Cow.
Only because he won.
Yeah, only because he won. Yeah.
He might become. Yeah.
Out of those three, The one that irks me was Emiliano Grillo, really, because we talked about him a lot in the back end of last season.
But he needed to get a big win, didn't he? I hear what you're saying, and I know he'd won on the web.com tour, hadn't he? But he hadn't really won a main tour event, I don't think, had he?
No,
before
he hadn't.
That. So there's a lot of those guys who don't win. And if you back them every week, by the time they do win, you wouldn't be in a massive amount of profit, would you? So sometimes you've got to find out whether they've got it or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got to be willing to miss out on them, I think.
I agree. And it's this market is interestingly framed, Mike, because you have Jason Bone at 10-1, Patrick Rogers at 12-1, and we've gone no.
Not so because we're disrespecting them, but they're very, very short prices, aren't they, on what they've done?
No, I definitely 100% agree. I've just got the one pick in this event.
Me too.
Dave?
No picks.
No picks.
Go
no
on,
picks.
DK, you go first.
I'm going with, you mentioned that experience, Jason Bone, Boo Weekly, John Rollins, I think, was in contention last year as well.
Yep.
I'm going with Vaughan Taylor, who's definitely of a similar mould to those
guys we mentioned. Yeah,
he was 20th last year. Didn't get in contention.
No, but it's a decent finish.
I think it's a decent finish.
You look at the top 20, Dave, it's littered with players like that last year.
Yeah.
Glover was third going into the last day last year.
You've got Mark Wilson was in there, David Toms, other players you mentioned. You know, there's a whole host of them there. Jerry Kelly was in there and around there, Jonathan Bird. So that's why, I went for someone a bit more experienced.
He's 66 to 1 in this field, which I think is fair. more than meets the eye with his performance in the Web.com Tour Championship as well, which was his last start. Needed eagle birdie to make the 36-hole cut and managed it. Got through to the weekend, then shot 68-67 to finish 24th in that event. He's way down in the eligibility rankings for the PGA Tour, so won't get into many events this season, but gets into this field. I think he can take advantage as well. He's always someone I look at, Taylor, in the opposite events. You look at his performance in the Barbasol Championship, which was opposite the PGA Championship this season. He finished fourth behind Scott Piercy. And I think this setup suits him as well. You mentioned his 20th place last year in this tournament. And it's a golf course which really rewards accuracy from tee to green. And that's his game, really. Hopefully the putter will hot up. Win prospects aren't exactly exceptional, given he's only won twice on tour, and those came a decade ago.
Wow.
so it is a definitely an each-way bet, this one. I wouldn't be playing in win-only in this field. but I don't mind the each-way angle at 66-1. Did place in that Barbasol.
He played in the Ryder Cup team, didn't he?
He's been in the Ryder Cup, hasn't he? Yeah. Vaughan Taylor.
Has he really?
He has, I think. Yeah. I think he was one of the pointless answers. When they did Ryder Cup players from the last decade, he was in there. It must have been around the time he won those two tour events, because he won the...
It's a fair.
The Reno Tahoe Open back-to-back in 2004-2005.
Yeah, I think... Did he play at the K Club, maybe? 2006?
You're testing me. Shall I have a look?
I was out there. I can't remember.
Pretty low-key sort of guy.
Well, you weren't only out there. You were in the locker room, weren't you, Mike?
I was in the American team room party on the final night, Dave. I'll have you know. Well, that's a
story for another time, isn't it? That needs to be an after-hours podcast special, that one, doesn't
it? That's a special, that one, for Christmas. interesting. Have you finished? Are you going to look for Vaughan Taylor yet?
I'm done. I'm going with Vaughan Taylor. I'm just checking to see if he's played in the Ryder Cup.
He has.
He did, 2006.
K Club.
Yeah, at the K Club. You probably had a drink with him in that team room.
Probably singing along to Ronan Keating with our arms around each other.
He probably thought it was a locker attendant or something.
Who's your pick, Mike?
I have a slight theory in these second tier events that you should just go for the best players, because there aren't, you know, it's a drop down, isn't it? No disrespect to all these great professionals who are in there. So I've gone for a player who I think is probably the... Probably, although he didn't really prove it last season, the best player in the field. I think Patrick Rogers may be one that will fly past him in the next few years, don't get me wrong, and some of the others certainly will as well. But I like Kevin Streelman in this event.
Okay.
I just think he's a decent, not far off top line player, yeah. Had a poor season last year, really, by his standards. Only had two top tens. But has started the 2016 season, which seems a bit odd saying that, but that's what it is. Pretty well, with a 41st in the Fries and a 16th in the Shriners. He's a good greens and regulation player, a player who knows how to win. And I just think at 33-1, he's been there and done it much more than a lot of the others that are around him at the same price. And I do like that Shriners finish showed quite a lot of potential. I did look at David Toms, who is probably overall the player who's achieved the most in the field, but... he's knocking on a little bit, and 50s were just a tiny bit short. But he was the guy who jumped off the page for me, Kevin Streelman. I think he's a winner when he gets going, and I like his chance in this field.
I thought you were going to say Brendan Todd.
Yeah, I did.
Todd, obviously, I backed a few times lately, but he's been letting me down a little bit. So I don't think he's achieved as much as Streelman yet. He may prove to be better in time. I'm not saying Streelman will have the best career of all these guys by any means, but just on what he's done and how he should be ranked, I think he's ahead of most of these.
Who did you look at, Dev?
I had a look at Jamie Lovemark, who kind of burst onto the scene a number of years ago but didn't really kick on. He got to a playoff in his ninth PGA Tour start and lost. Ricky Fowler was in that same playoff. He had a glittering amateur career. He was a 87-time All-American and all that sort of business that they just seem to hand them out willy-nilly. And he's played well. He's playing well. He's played well for quite a long time. He was top 20 in the US Open. He was tied 13th on his last start. He's just sort of a player in form. He was one of the ones I was looking for.
It's funny when you look down the betting in events like this, isn't it? Some of the players that you think, oh, I thought he'd done better than this. Like Aaron Badley's 100-1. Bud Cawley's 150-1.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what are they doing? They look like they're going to be so much better than this, didn't they, when you look at it? And it's quite revealing that they're but such big prizes in what are, you know, it's not a great event.
No, it's a poor field.
But basically, Love Mark is too short at that price.
Yeah.
Matt, if you were going on a sort of classy player who's won a few events, Martin Laird at 40s. Isn't the worst.
No, that's price, a fair call. That's a fair call.
He was 40-1 when he won at Bay Hill, Martin Laird, in that field.
Do you know who backed him?
Yes. That's why I mentioned it.
I don't know. It's
remember the good ones.
And that looks like a silly bet at 40-1 now, doesn't it? Given he's 40-1 in a quality, quality of field.
He starts stand up still, and he lures me into writing his name down virtually every week he's in a tournament, but I've never quite... I just think he just needs to get rediscover his mojo a little bit. He's Dave's right to mention him though, because I'm convinced he'll come back and win events.
Will Wilcox is one of those. You mentioned it on the previous podcast last time you were on, I think 3 weeks ago, and the stats are just incredible.
Incredible.
If you were basing this just purely on statistics, you'd be picking him at 25-1 in this field.
Andy has a chance. He's in very good form. Yes. So, but 25s, just what we said earlier. I can let him win before I take 25-1 about him.
We've seen him. I've actually seen much of him in the coverage.
I've seen a little. He swings strange, isn't it?
I'd rather back Toya Wilcox.
That's harsh.
If he wins this week, Dave.
I'll clip that up for next week.
We'll have that
on next week's podcast.
Yeah. I like it, though.
Let's recap the picks then this week, chaps.
Yeah, I'd rather have Brendan Rodgers and Patrick Rodgers. That's not quite as funny.
it'll still do. I've got a couple in the HSBC Champions event. I'll play them both a point each way. Brandon Grace at 33-1 and Lee Westwood at 66-1. Mike, in China?
In China, I have gone for Dustin Johnson. What I'm going to have on him? A point and a half each way, I think. Point each way on Patrick Reed at 33s. Johnson's 16s. Mm. Kevin Streelman at 33-1. I'll have a point each way on him as well in the Sanderson.
Yeah, I'll go with Vaughan Taylor, point each way, 66 in the Sandersons. And Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to go 1.5 points each way, Adam Scott in the HSBC. I'm going to throw in just a 1 point win on Martin Keimer.
Got him on the brain, haven't you?
On the European?
Yeah, 1 point win, Martin Keimer, top European in the HSBC at 12.
Okay.
Just win only?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff. Thank you, chaps.
Play,
you
don't want to win.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thanks. It's a good job you're back, Mike.
I have to keep you on a straight and narrow door. In the Sanderson, Mark Wilson's someone that I should have mentioned, Brendan Todd, but ultimately probably David Toms would be the player I don't want to win in that. And in the HSBC, I would have to go for Bubba, who was ever so close. I couldn't pick them both, though, Bubba and Dustin. They were just 2 16-1 shots was too short.
Well, one man that I've not mentioned, Mark Leishman. He's just been clipped, actually, with us, 100-1 from 125-1. He caught the eye last week. He might even be the player that I don't want to win in that event. From the head of the betting, I like Dustin Johnson and Bubba Watson, those two that you mentioned. But I think Leishman probably. I might have slipped him in as a third pick in the HSBC Champions, and I'm not fussed about the Sandersons. If
whoever
Taylor
wins.
Doesn't win, I don't care whoever wins.
Don't want to win for you, Dave?
I'll go Martin Laird then.
Okay.
Having
mentioned him.
Eulogised about him,
You can follow us on Twitter, folks. Make sure you do. At D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf.
And I don't think I'm going to bother tweeting this. But I'm going to go for Jeff Maggart in the Schwab Championship, which ends the season. He's 16-1. The last time I backed him, he was injured. He had a calf injury. And he withdrew and had a number of sizable bets on him. So it wasn't the best experience. There is a little worry that he's not recovered from that, but he has played since. He played reasonably well when he was 11th last week. He really wants to win this season. The Schwab Championship. If he wins it, he's the top player of the year. He should not be, if he's fit, double the price of Freddie Couples. He's a better player than him now. So 16-1. If the with the caveat that he is as fit as he looked last week, big price.
What would he
30 run a field?
What would he go off if he was? Yeah, that's the sort of price I'd expect him in a full.
Exactly.
Or probably less even. I don't know.
I don't know why he's 16-1, other than maybe they are worried about the injury, but he played last week, and he's desperate to win it. So,
thank you, chaps. That's good. 16-1. I like that, Jeff Maggart.
Yeah. Double him up with Dustin Johnson.
I was just thinking that, a Maggart-Scott double.
Oh, yeah, they could be.
Dave, the one risk is that he pulls up short and his calf hurts him again, but he's talking a good game, and he's been the best player all year for me on this tour.
That risk built into that price?
I think it must be. I, There's 30 runners in this, Dave. Mm. It's a small field. He's 16-1. He's won two majors, four wins this season, and played quite well in this event last year. I think he was around about the top 10 in this last year, so he knows the course now.
Yeah.
Let me have a quick look where he finished last year. He finished 11th. He was 15th last week, sorry. But none of the big guns played particularly well last week either, really. He finished above Langer and Monty, I think. So, you know, I like Kenny Perry of the three market leaders, but Maggett is the man at 16s. Decent each way at that.
Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Do check us all out on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf, and get your bets on for the WGC events, the Sanderson Farms Championship, and, of course, the Charles Schwab Cup Championship as well here with William Hill. Thank you for your company, and we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.